And we read a couple of verses to preface to both preface and also be the focus and the conclusion of a message this morning. So let me read Ephesians 5:20. Just the last line of statement of Paul, an admonition basically of Paul saying, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to the Thessalonians, hey, give thanks in all circumstances for all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then he says to the Philippians, and it is kind of interesting how many times to each of the churches that he's writing to, that it's not just it's kind of a token statement or tacking at the end. It's throughout. I think in each of them. I was going to say Colossians. I'm not even quoting one out of Colossians, but it's just almost in every chapter, just that strong admonition. And then the one I made reference to earlier, Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in your hearts, present your requests to the Lord. The question that I want to just pose, I'm not asking you to answer this rhetorical question, but I want you to, you know, to consider is this, I mean, we know it's scriptural. No doubt is it scriptural. How many times does God say over and over the same kind of thing here? But so it's scriptural, but is it possible? Is it really possible for the likes of you and me to really do that, to give thanks in every circumstance, in every situation, and to not be anxious about anything? You know, is it really, really possible to do this? I want to read a cute little note that is supposedly written. I don't doubt that this is an actual note. It says this: Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second story of my dormitory when we had the fire. Well, we were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze, called the fire department, and they were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news, this news, in its proper perspective. Like I said, I don't doubt that that was an actual letter, and though very creative, probably not the best example to follow. Would you agree? But I read that because I don't believe, although it certainly is helpful for us in the face, especially when we think of, you know, things didn't go quite right this morning or yesterday, or the dinner burned, or, you know, the disappointment over this and that. And then we hear someone who spent Thanksgiving in jail. We think, oh yeah, I guess I should be, you know. So it's always easy in perspective to be grateful when we realize, you know, how bad things really could be. Which this parent, if they even got through to the PS, I don't know. But it really is. It's easy, as we've said before, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well. Yes? When things just click right along, and or we get, you know, the raise or the answer to prayer, or just, you know, when that's the easy time, of course. It's the challenge then, I suppose, is the remembering to say thanks. But the test of a truly grateful heart is when, in the midst of despair during the Civil War, the wheels are falling off, and I guess I just want to say that I must admit, I don't remember giving thanks to God one time during the game yesterday. Now I realize it's just a game, and I, what's that? Oh, yeah. I didn't see that, but yeah, that's true. That's true. And but I want to quickly read a quote that I came across this last week by Cicero. Listen to this. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. And it's clear that to make a quote like that recognizes that the scriptural admonition, the scriptural principle, and the scriptural importance about giving thanks, about having gratitude, and the fact that at the end, the parent of all others, the realizing that really without gratitude, it's really impossible to develop the character one needs desperately, or the allow for the growth of it. As I mentioned, the Bible, emphasizes so much on this, the importance of being thankful and have a grateful heart. And I guess that's my prayer this morning. Lord, we know, every one of us know that you emphasize having a grateful heart, and that giving thanks is not just polite, it's vital. And God, I pray this morning that we would hear once again how important a grateful heart is. And Lord, I pray that you would, both remind, convict, Lord, when we realize the absence of gratitude and the absence of thanksgiving, and the necessity to deal with toxic attitudes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do have a better attitude today. So let me just read the following proclamation. That this is the one made by Governor Bradford, one of the pilgrims, and I started to include an apology for those of you that have heard nothing about but references to the Mayflower and forefathers since Karen and I have returned from Plymouth, our visit to Plymouth, at Thanksgiving time. It's a setup. But I realized right away I not only shouldn't apologize, I should herald even louder. These are truths that unfortunately are not heralded today enough. And so if I have to say it, to the point of like, okay, well, can we get to Christmas or something else, to get past all of this repetitiveness, but just important stuff. Here's the proclamation that I wanted to read from Governor Bradford. 3 years, it was in 1623, so 3 years after the Pilgrims settled in at Plymouth, and here it is. To all, this is the actual note here, to all ye pilgrims. Inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in this daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. I think that was in the, that must have been in the bulletin the Sunday before or something. But I thought that was cute, but also just, you know, powerful at the same time, that that there would be this, you know, so not just, you know, come to the potluck if you can make it, if it fits your schedule, but I'm expecting all ye to be there, and ye wives and ye children, and between these hours on ye hill and the meeting place, and then listen to ye pastor. So this morning I preface that, you know, or use that to say, listen to ye pastor. And actually, I actually want you to listen to ye sisters. I'm going to have a couple of ye sisters share and give thanks about and well, I'll just let them share their heart. Marcy, come first.
Soul detox, and he talked about the torture chamber. Oh, I hate this.
It's okay.
Thing.
Just make it for recordings.
Okay. And so anyway, he talked about the torture chamber, and I started and how the Lord works through the torture chamber to bring about a deeper walk with Him and a more grateful walk in the end, though none of us like going there. And I just started looking around the room and recognizing that there was so many of us that had had that experience. In fact, I would dare to say that none of us haven't had that experience in various forms. And then the mistake was telling Dave about it, because here I stand. So be careful what you tell Dave. Yeah, but I'm pleased to talk about this, because it's not something I've talked about before to the church as a whole. Although many of you know that it's something that I've gone through. Last week I got to experience a miracle as I stood, and I'm not going to cry. I stood in church next to my beautiful only daughter in L.A., and we had an amazing visit. I'm going to work on it. We had an amazing visit. 4 days. We made a huge Thanksgiving feast for her roommates, and it was the best yet, and we're just the dearest of friends, and that alone is a miracle, because when she left the house, I didn't think we'd ever speak to each other again. The Lord just did such an amazing thing for us. It also happened to be the 10-year anniversary of her being admitted to an adolescent care psychiatric unit in Roseburg. And so prior to that, she attempted her life several times, and three ways to Hades she tried to destroy herself. And it was a very difficult time in my life, in our lives. But the things that led up to that and crawling out of the hole after that, I wouldn't trade for the world. The Lord has been so faithful in healing our hearts and taking us, these are partially tears of joy, because things have been, it was not a place that I would ask to go, ever. But the Lord used it in our lives. One of the scriptures that he gave us for Rachel when she was really little, because she was just full of life and full of the dickens. And she's just a big personality. And we jokingly said, Rachel, pressed down, shaken over, and poured out into your lap. And that was her. She was just a great person and ornery at the same time. Well, that scripture, I went back to it when we were going through those teen years. And this is what it says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, I have to tell you, when she was 17, 15, I was judging, I was condemning, I was not forgiving, and I was not giving in any way, shape, or form. I was miserable. We were all miserable. It was a very difficult time. And slowly, the Lord worked this scripture into my heart and began to talk to me about loving more the unlovable. And he's been so gracious. He's given us a scripture for each one of our kids. And they seem to evolve. I mean, that was a fun scripture when she was little, but it became very poignant when we were going through difficult times. And all the scriptures around it just totally began to minister to me in bigger ways. The word is really living. And if the Lord's given you a scripture about an incident or about a person, hang on to that and ask him to make it past. And if he hasn't given you a scripture, ask for one. Because this has been life to me, to be able to realize that I can learn how to not judge, and I can learn how to not condemn, and that I can learn how to give. And now that relationship is a miracle. And it's not me, it's the Lord, because I didn't do it right all the time. And he's been so gracious to us. He's been so gracious. And through that, the things I learned are amazing. I got to be part of a mental health support group. I talked to all kinds of people and parents with kids with mental health issues. It just expands your world. And things happened that were miraculous, really miraculous, and that I would never have known about if I hadn't gone through this with her. I feel like it just expands your world. It expands your world. And the Lord... I went to a women's retreat at some point during that time, and he kind of, during a quiet meditative time, he gave me this wonderful picture of a beautiful wooded area and a pathway through it. And I could only see about maybe from here to TR to the pathway, and then it veered. And he's standing at the foot of that, at the front of that pathway, and he holds his hands out and he says, you need to come with me. And I'm like, I have no idea what is around that corner there. And you know what? You've been taking me to some really hard places lately, and I'm not going with you. And it was pretty much just like that. And he said, and therein lies your problem. You don't trust me to take you. You don't know what's around that corner. You don't know if that is green pastures. You think it's bad. And I am now walking that path with him. And you know what? There are not green pastures around every corner. I'm here to tell you. There are still bad things around the corners. But I know that there's places of green pastures, and there's places of repose, and there's places where he continues to grow me up and to draw me deeper into him and to make me more, even through the hard times. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for Rachel and all she's taught us. Tierra will tell you that when we walked into that psych unit, we were shipwrecked as parents. Literally, shipwrecked, done. Nothing left. And the Lord has just blessed us with our kids. They're not where I want them to be. But you know what? I can look at them in love and in acceptance and be so grateful that the Lord has given me relationship with them, and that he, I was so proud of Barb standing up a couple weekends ago. I couldn't do that at that time with Rachel. I was highly protective of her terribly protective of myself. It wasn't easy to do. So I was really proud of you, Barb. It was great. And I gave Barb this scripture, and I want to give it to you, too, to end with. Scripture that the Lord gave me that just really ministered to me then and still continues to now. It's in Psalm 84, and it's, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you. They've set their hearts on pilgrimage," meaning we're talking about the pilgrims, but a pilgrimage is a journey and not necessarily an easy journey. "As they pass through the valley of Baca," and that's trouble, through the valley of trouble, "they make it a place of springs," and springs is like blessing. "And the autumn rain," in the autumn rains, that means in time, they also covers it with pools, more blessing. "Till each," they go from strength to strength, "till each appears before God in Zion." So those hard things in your life, don't run from them. Press in. Press in and ask the Lord to give you a scripture. Ask him to give you something. I know that there's so much hardship in this room alone. You know, death of children, death of spouse, chronic illness, cancer. There's terribly difficult things that every one of you are going through and can seem hopeless. Find a scripture that you demand the Lord to answer you and ask him, because all those promises are yes. They're yes. So anyway, thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you, Marcy. Did I turn off?
There we go. Bless you for sharing and for commending Barb as well. So let me just repeat. Listen to ye pastor. Guess I could have left that part out. "And render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." And what a powerful word. The thing that I heard loud and clear in what you just shared was, you know, some blessings aren't always recognized as blessings, but God uses those things to bring expansion to our lives, to our hearts. So I had Gary and Julie share last week, just some of you that were here recall, just them recalling God's hand in sparing them 3 years ago in a very serious rollover on I-5. You have heard Karen and I mention many times and talk about Kimberly's, when God spared her life about 6.5 years ago. But I doubt that any of you, or a few of you anyhow, have heard Kimber talk about that. And I asked her, and she graciously agreed. So at least she did before now. So Kimber, why don't you come and give God thanks.
Was she awake?
No.
Gosh. Well, coming after you, one thing that in hearing, I don't know, Barb speak and other people that have teenagers or young adults going through a lot of stuff now, you know, as a pastor's kid, there were a lot of expectations that I felt, not people put on me, just being that. And just if there's any encouragement through this story, it would be that you might not always, your kids might not want to talk to you about everything spiritual. You might not see it. But when it came down to my life, going, I was so grateful that my parents had, you know, taught me everything they did. And you know, I'll just say what happened. One day in June, about 6 years ago, we were boating and everybody having a good time, nobody being out of control or there was no drinking involved, nothing, just a family out having a good time boating. And an accident came when I was had been water skiing and fell into the water. And then as the boat was coming to pick around the corner to pick me up, it for some reason the boat kind of glitched and it got put into reverse. And while I was swimming towards the back of it, so the prop was running, and I only saw it maybe like 10 seconds before it hit me. And because you're wearing a life jacket, I think that's why my hands or anything wasn't in the way. It kind of got my midsection and prop spinning, and I remember screaming and people pulling me out of the water, and you could look at my stomach and it was just hanging open, flayed. I just went into initial shock, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 26 years old and this is what it feels like to die. I mean, I'm dying. And everybody's freaking out around us, and they lay down, and I was on the bench, and I was like, God, I'm dying, I'm coming to you. And it would, you know, it was sunny, and but there was definitely a light there, and I wasn't scared. I knew where I was going, or thought I was going, and it was, there was a peace that came over that you would never think. I didn't want to die, but I was just like, wow, it's going to be okay. And, you know, and then I didn't die for the next couple minutes. I was still alive. And so my sister-in-law, Jamie, was there, and she's holding me and trying to help or do anything she could. And after, I was like, oh, well, maybe I could say something before I die. I think that was what was going on in my head. And I was like, the one thing I said, Jamie, can you please make sure my girls go to church? If there's anything, just please take them to church, because they need to hear what I heard growing up. And, you know, I think parents don't realize that all of that stuff does go, it means something, even when your kids are messing up, not making the right choices, or going through hard times of their own. You come back to it and you remember. And, you know, then going, I was life flighted out of they called a helicopter in, and my leg was also just, it looked horrible. Like it looked like it was hanging off. And I was like, and, you know, I remember the paramedics putting me in and saying, you know what, I think, you know, it's been a good 10 minutes. Your leg looks horrible. And I was like, oh my gosh, I might not die. It's like, wow, it's okay. I go, I don't have to have my leg, as long as it just gave me this little bit of hope. And then just going through it again, it just, the getting into the hospital, they're like, wow, her stomach got right to her stomach lining, like a millimeter, she would have hit intestines. It would have been a whole different, you know, type of recovery things you're dealing with. And then same with my leg, it went right into the millimeter away from where if it would have cut that artery going through, that it would have, I would have bled out. There would have been nothing anybody could have done. And it was just that millimeter in both ways. And somehow God decided to be very gracious and spare that. But, you know, even losing a leg would have been fine. So as long as I was going to live and then see my girls again and see everybody, and then going into surgery, I just remember being able to be grateful, because I kind of got sidelined. It was a busy day and in surgery, and there was somebody that had come in from a car accident, and they went ahead of me into the surgery room because she was more life-threatening than I was. And to hear that, I was just like, oh my God. I mean, not that I wish any ill will on somebody else, but it was just like laying in there, I was just like, I even smiled. I was like, oh yeah, go ahead, take her. If she's, I was like, she can go ahead of me. I'm fine. I'm not dying. And yeah, anyways, it was just something that when I, you know, I think everybody has a fear of death and dying, and or not a fear, but just, you don't know what it's going to be like and stuff, but just to be able to be encouraged that it's not as scary as knowing that you're going to be with God. It's, there's a peace that comes, and teaching your kids and all that stuff, even when they're going through hard times, they'll remember it and they'll come back to it. So. Yep.
And as she is saying that, I'm thinking back to my little somewhat cute story, the P.S., proper perspective. And that's really what we're asking. God, help us to have proper perspective. Help us to see how your blessings are all really blessings, and help our discernment to be a little better, to see a little deeper. Seemed like there was more I wanted to say in response. I guess mostly to offer my extreme gratitude to God that He did spare Kimber's life. And I remember the Sunday after sharing that and just realizing that we could be gathering for a funeral instead of a celebration. And so, but God, you know, in His sovereignty, doesn't always choose to answer. I mean, and as Marcy shared earlier, that not only have we all had our and are continuing to have our struggles and challenges, we know that often God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we think He should, certainly in the way that we want them to be answered. But what is incumbent upon us and what is vital is that we, through everything, remember to demonstrate gratitude, even when we don't understand. Lord, I'm thanking You. I don't understand. In fact, I'm a little bit ticked, God, to be honest. I mean, you catch that in the Psalms with David, you know, just pouring out his heart, but conveying at the same time, even though the pain, the frustration, even the anger or the disappointment, even the hint of bitterness that's coming, yet what stops it short of bitterness and stops it short of morphing into something that allows David or propels him to being a victim. He stops short of becoming a victim and projects himself toward being a victor, if you will, by saying, "But Lord, I'm going to hope in You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to give You thanks, even though I don't see it as something to really be thankful for. I'm gonna give You thanks because I know You. I know who You are. I know how gracious You are. I know how kind You are, and I know how faithful You are. And though I don't think He said it ever in quite these words, I believe what He was saying is, God, because I know who You are, I know that Your way is always the best way. Lord, even though this You may not answer in the way that I think You should answer, I know that You really do know best, and it will be for my best as well. So I remind you again of the verses, always giving thanks to God for all things. Always giving thanks to God for all things. Always giving thanks. Always giving thanks to God for all things. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that would be a pattern, just a written into our DNA, that no matter what, even the absence of understanding or the absence of a light or an absence of even any glimmer of hope, any visible glimmer of hope, that choosing to give thanks, not being anxious about anything, but let our anxiety be a reminder. God, I'm getting anxious. I am anxious. Lord, I have reason, but I have greater reason to cry out to you and to hope in you, to trust in you. So, Lord, turn my anxiety into hope and to trust and to prayers that cry out to you, depend upon you, and look to you. Overflowing in Colossians, overflowing, that our lives would be pictures of just overflowing with gratitude, and that there would be in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the deserts, in the midst of the unknown. And then the verse out of Hebrews 13, right there at the end of the chapter, the writer of the Hebrews saying, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And that would be, again, just a reflection of our lives, that we would be known as one who's that TR is just always giving thanks. Always, no matter what, he's always giving praise. That's Stan, just Kevin, just Chris, Barb, just Jerry. That it would be evident in each of our lives that praise would just be oozing. A thanksgiving would be so evident regardless of what's taking place. I was going to read a bit. I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but I was going to read a good bit of George Washington's proclamation of Thanksgiving. And in fact, in the year of 1789, when it was given, it would have been the exact date. It was going to be Thursday, the 29th of Thanksgiving that was set, which this Thursday is the 29th. Just a little deal, but he was admonished to make this day and to proclaim this day as Thanksgiving, as it was on the in the wake of it was the day after that he went ahead and issued this proclamation, the day after the First Amendment was not ratified. It wasn't ratified for a couple of years, but it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Adopted. It was adopted. And so it was like, hey, guys, and it wasn't just the church people that were, saying, hey, you ought to do this. It was the Congress both parties, saying, hey, we need to proclaim and make a day of thanks. President, we admonish you to proclaim a day of thanksgiving to God Almighty. And then there was someone that said, hey, wait a minute. No. That's reverting back. That's just mimicking the European ways of doing things. That's what they would do. And someone else stood up and said, wait a minute. It's more than that. It's mimicking what the people of Israel did time and time again. Remember what Solomon did when they were dedicating the temple? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and do this. Because remember that whole thing of having the national church and being so very sensitive to that and not wanting to do something that would so closely mimic and yet realizing that it really was mimicking something in the scripture. And I just, may God remind us, not just about our heritage with our country, but about our heritage in the land, with God's people, that it's something that regardless of what's going on, that we would even, not just in the result of building the temple and of something significant that we'd celebrate, but in the wake of even disaster, the waking would have the appearance at least of disaster or hopelessness, that we would stand and proclaim. We wouldn't do it in this formal way, but just speaking to your soul. Soul, you hereby proclaim Thanksgiving. You know, and there's something about that we need to realize. It's not what happens that controls us. It must not be what controls us. It must be the Word of God that is, that our lives are built upon, that we respond to and take charge of our lives and our emotions and our soul and say, give thanks. Develop a grateful heart. Quit ye like men. Which means don't give up. Don't give up. So Lord, on this Sunday following a holiday that doesn't celebrate anyone's birthday or the culmination of any war or anything like that, but just simply celebrates Almighty God's blessings. Lord, let it be said of us that we are a grateful people and that we are quick to recognize that you are God Almighty and that you are faithful even when what appears to be all hell breaking loose. God, help us to see that even in the face of such appearances, Lord, that we would stand on your word and that we would let your word, as Marcy admonished us, to richly dwell in our hearts, in our minds, and allow you to bring fulfillment of your promises in your time, in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. So we're going to head down and feast and just encourage you to not only fellowship, but recognize the things that God has provided, not just in our food and in our, you know, some of those physical things, but just our relationships, and that, you know, he really is making us a family and a grateful family. Someone want to just offer a prayer for the meal, dear? Yes. And thank you, Marcy and Kimber, for sharing with us this morning.